This is a meeting of the Pacific and National Boards Programming Committee. My name is Rob Robinson. I'm the chair. The meeting tonight is a rescheduled meeting of our regularly scheduled meeting, which was held on July 7th. We were not able to achieve a quorum at that meeting, and hence we have reconvened this evening. We currently have a quorum of 8 members on the call. The members that are on the call include Bonnie Simmons, Attila Nage, Sherna Gluck, Serene Roberts, Stephen Brown, Teresa Allen, Adnan Lakhani, and myself, Rob Robinson. We have one basic item on the agenda this evening. We do not have the minutes from the previous meeting for the members to review, and the agenda that we're engaged in right now is a continuation of the review of the revised programming policy. This is a shortened version of the policy that was passed by this committee last year, and we have been in the process of going through section by section the items in that policy and allowing members to discuss changes and vote the sections up or down. At the last meeting that we had in July, we got through, as I recall, section 4.0, but, and Sherna, please correct me if I'm wrong, as I recall, we discussed this, but we did not finally vote on it for some reason, and I'm vague on that. Is that correct?
Yes, we adjourned before we actually, we discussed it for quite a long time. It's a section on commercial programming. We discussed it for a fair amount of time, and we got into a whole lot of kind of side questions, and we adjourned before we actually voted.
Yeah. So what should we do? Should we just do we have another member? Hello?
Hello?
Serene just came back on.
Oh, Lisa Davis? Did I hear Lisa?
Yes.
Hey, Lisa. How are you doing?
Who's this, Rob?
Yes, this is Rob.
Oh, hi. I was called because I tried to call in a little earlier.
Yeah.
But the number that was sent out said 2463.
Yeah, I transposed the numbers and I apologize.
Oh, no problem. But I wanted you to know that I was trying to call in from out on the road.
Yeah, we tried to correct that. John corrected it and I did too. We have a quorum now.
Okay.
Lisa Davis of WBI. We've now got 9 members on the call. But what we're doing, we have one item on the agenda, and that is to continue the section by section review of the revised programming policy, with the exception of section 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to deal with that in a different meeting, as we've discussed before. But where we were, we had discussed section 4.0, the section on commercial programming, at the last meeting, but we did not vote on it. My suggestion is, since that's short, that we simply reread that before putting it to a vote. What's the pleasure of the body?
Yes, I would say please reread.
Does everyone have the document in front of them or not?
I'm actually searching for it right now.
I am looking for it. What's the date on it?
I sent today. I sent to everyone. You should find for me a copy of the draft that was circulated on July the 6th, in which Sherna had included all of the amendments and suggestions that had been made up to that point. So you should have that document on your computer from me. It came in today at, let's see what the time.
What's the title on it?
I've got to find the document.
I think it's like the most recent thing you sent.
It's the most recent thing that I sent. That's
yeah.
I sent something a minute ago that pointed out that I mistyped the number.
I'll just read.
Okay, I have it.
Okay, does anyone else need it? Because I could just send it to everyone again. From my original July 6th.
Are you buying it back?
Does anyone know what time they received the document today?
Yeah, 9:44 a.m.
Okay. Should I start to read while people are still looking?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and read, Sherna?
Okay. What I'm going to read is where we were on 4.0 when we adjourned, and there may be glitches in the language, I don't know, but I'll just read what we had at that point. Programs, this is a 4.0 commercial programming. Programs that promote products, services, seminars, concerts, events, and or personal advice that are for sale and from which the programmer receives a consideration are defined as commercial programming and are antithetical to the Pacifica mission. That was our last revision before we adjourned. I thought we were close to spring.
Okay, that went out at 12:44 today, Tuesday at 12:44 today, EDT. Okay, now the thrust of this section of the policy is that it doesn't say so specifically, but it basically permits this committee to set criteria in consultation with LSB of what constitutes commercial programming, so that these discussions basically can be left up to the local stations when there are complaints. But the purpose of the language here is basically to say that here's a policy framework for defining programming as commercial programming that does certain things. There still would have to be criteria that would meet with the approval, I would imagine, of the LSBs before we update the policy to include that. But it presumes that some of these multi-year arguments that we get into about programs can be resolved. So that's the substance of it. Does anyone else have any amendments or discussion that they want to put forward before we entertain a motion to accept Section 4.0?
Rob, let me just add, if I could, that we had a fairly long discussion, and the way it's now written, I believe, makes it clear that it's not just a promotion of these, but where the programmer receives a consideration for.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
We were very careful in trying to do that so that we would avoid witch hunts and stuff like that, which we're periodically accused of conducting.
Tonight, I'd like to move to accept 4.0 as was revised last time.
I actually have some comments.
Can I get on the staff too, Rob?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I do hear you. Okay, so we've got 4.0. We have Bonnie and Lisa Davis. Okay, Bonnie, yes, please.
I think Serene was before me.
Oh, I didn't hear Serene. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Serene.
Yeah,
okay, we have Bonnie. I'm sorry. Bonnie, then Serene, then Lisa. Okay.
Serene, do you want to go ahead?
No, it's fine.
This is Teresa. Would someone offer to send this to me? I'm looking all over my computer.
What, for this piece of the document?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Bonnie, because I'm not seeing it being received today. So thank you very much.
Hold on. Okay, Serene, why don't you go ahead and talk while I send this to Teresa?
Okay. I don't necessarily need it in the language, but I would like it to be clear that assuming people, you know, everyone agrees, that the discussion should be had not just with the local station board, but also with program directors and program councils at the stations where there are program councils. And I'm assuming when you say by the local station board, you mean coming through the local station board's programming committees.
Yes,
right?
I do.
But I do think it needs to involve the program councils as well.
Serene, let me just clarify, but we're silent on any process beyond simply that is antithetical as defined here.
That's fine. I don't necessarily want an amendment to the motion, but Rob was saying we're doing this with the understanding that LSBs are going to be sort of making, you know, drawing the lines, and I'm saying that the program council should be involved in those discussions as well.
I'm sorry, who's next?
I guess I am.
Bonnie, if you're ready.
Bonnie, okay.
Yeah,
I am troubled by this one. When Amy is speaking at a conference for which she's getting paid, and she talks about it extensively on the air, when Larry Bensky might do the same, or Dennis, or any of our...
Bernard White.
We have many, many people on each of our stations that through having known names and being people that are wanted in some of these situations, I just don't think you can regulate it this easily. I think that it's kind of problematic for us to have definitions like this. Also, all of us, once again this year, and this has been fairly recent, that there's been a new run of everyone having to sign off on payola forms. And this does not just mean music programmers, but it means anyone who's a programmer on the air, at least in the case of KPFA, it's all programmers.
We do,
and
too.
And I believe that that subject is covered pretty fully and with the auspice of Pacifica Council through that. And I'm not sure that this is necessary.
You know, can I ask a question? Since everybody signs off on a payola statement, additional statements would seem to be silly if we don't intend to enforce penalties on anybody who breaks these rules. We don't need more statements. We need more police.
After Lisa finishes, Rob, I'd like to make a comment.
Sure.
Again.
Right. I sort of share some of the concerns that both Serena and Bonnie expressed, and believe me, I certainly understand the intent of this, but some things are the kind of thing that where we think we might have covered and made ourselves clear, there will always be something that will come up unforeseen. And I think where it says, and from which the programmer receives a consideration, I think that is, I think that's, you know, kind of vague. And I would certainly think that this would be another section of the policy. I know at one time we talked about if there were at least some sections of the policy that we could flag that we knew we might need to even get a little bit of outside counsel or something pertaining to this. And this would be one of those kind of things, especially since, like I said, when we say when a programmer receives a consideration, I mean, that to me is kind of, it opens up to me, I think, a slippery slope in terms of what's defined as a consideration and you know, what do you mean, and I just think this is something, another one of those things we have to, where it's better to proceed to err on the side of caution a little bit to at least, you know, at least have somebody, other people look over this.
Can I suggest, I'm wondering, because I think this grows partially out of the experience of several of our stations, including one of our health and spirituality shows, so-called, where all kinds of products and services are regularly promoted. The issue, I think, and I think this helps get beyond Bonnie's concern, if we say programs that regularly promote. So in other words, if
so, it's okay if you're making some money off one performance.
Pardon? No, but
it's
for
okay
instance, because what it means is, say you've got a music group that has a show, and their whole thing is constantly, you know, their reason for being there really is promoting their concerts, for an example. See, I think that it's the services and products that are much and personal advice that's much more the issue here. And I think we get into a trap with this seminars, concerts, events part. But I wonder if we add regularly and or remove seminars, concerts, events, because that's where I think we get into the slippery slope. I don't think anyone would have a problem with the issue of regularly promoting products, services, or personal advice as being antithetical to the mission. So can I suggest that? Amendment, would that help?
I could be on stack anytime. whenever you're done with everybody else.
Okay, Sherna has an amendment.
Should I read what it would then say?
Yes, please.
Programs that regularly promote products, services, and or personal service advice that are for sale and from which the programmer receives a consideration, are defined as commercial programming and are antithetical to the Pacifica mission.
Okay. Bonnie, you had something to say?
Well, I don't know what products means. I also don't know what consideration means, and I don't know what regularly means.
You and Bill Clinton, Bonnie?
Honestly, I think that you'd have to have counsel's advice in writing something like this.
Well, Bonnie, if I could just make a short response to that. The way this is written, we know that we're going to have to set criteria for those things and ask legal counsel to review it. What this does is it tries to put within the context of a programming policy something that says the programming, Pacifica's programming, is not intended to be there to sell stuff to people. That was something that was a basis for Pacifica being founded, and most of our stations have had long, bitter arguments around programs that get into this habit. I think that there is a key distinction between the stuff that Democracy Now! Does and what we're talking about here. But this does not, all this does is it creates a policy framework for saying we will create a definition of these things and run it past the legal counsel. But that has to go, we have to get the input of the LSBs, the program councils, the station staff, so that all those concerns are taken into consideration. This may also deal with cases in which the station gets involved in promoting events. But our concern is that we set some policy framework that covers this. And I do not think that this is simply the same thing as Plugola, but I mean that we can't have that whole discussion here. But the purpose of this, again, is to create a policy framework that says commercial programming is antithetical to our mission. We want not to do it. But this does not attempt to define all of the criteria and parameters for that. That's something that's going to have to take place in consultation with our local stations. And after that's done, it will have to go to legal counsel for review, absolutely. But until we set a policy framework for it, none of those things will occur.
I think people are assuming more than is here. All it says is that it's antithetical to the mission. It's not mandating anything. But it provides the framework, as Rob explained.
I agree with that.
It's not my understanding of how you go about forming a policy. You know, it doesn't make sense to me that we don't go to counsel and use counsel to come up with language that makes sense, that people are going to understand. It's all well and good to say that those of us on this call understand what we meant when we said products.
Exactly.
But that's not what you're writing a policy for. You're writing a policy to go out to a number of people to be used as boilerplate, and it needs to be sound. And it needs to be understandable.
But
for me, I'm not even sure about a sentence that says commercial programming is antithetical to the Pacifica mission. What is your definition of commercial programming? Is it these two lines here?
Pardon me?
It doesn't. I just think you're opening up room for, at the best, people to be really puzzled by it, and at the worst, for this to become a tool to go after particular programs.
Rob, is anyone on the staff?
When you say consideration, if a programmer gets a book that they're going to review, or a record that there's
monetary considerations, and you know, come up with some alternative.
We're really trying to do something seriously here. We're really not trying to get involved in parsing language here. And I have spoken to the legal counsel, and the legal counsel has told me on a number of occasions that in complicated areas, the board needs to set a policy and then determine what guidelines it's going to establish for enforcing the policy, particularly where there are compliance and enforcement issues. That is how you set policy. We're really not, you know, this was not an attempt to confuse people or to create fake issues. All of our stations have been through bitter disputes about this, and this was not written in bad faith. But we have an amendment, and I think it's probably time to go through and ask the members to vote it up or down.
This is Serene. Just before we go to a vote.
Yes, Serene.
Do we want to table this and have the Paola Plagola language distributed so people can see what the point is?
What?
Do you have it on email, Bonnie, that you can distribute to people?
I'm just sending it out. Hold on.
And we can always come back to it later in the meeting if people, you know.
Hey,
Sarv, how you doing?
My concern is we keep doing that with issue after issue. We are never going to get this document approved by us, let alone go to the PNP. I think we should vote it up or down and move on.
Can I say something?
Who's there? I didn't recognize the voice.
Attila.
Oh, Attila, yes, thank you.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Okay. I understand what Bonnie's saying, and I tend to agree with it because it is not clear. I would like to see that document that's come in the email. And it seems to me that there are many programs that have commercial benefits. And that is a problem for me, and I think it needs to be more clearly defined than these words here.
What needs to be the specific cases in point of commercial programs, the criteria by which you identify them, or the fact that this is going to be a policy of the Pacifica Foundation?
All of the above. I think it should be a policy for the Pacifica Foundation because that's in the mission. But I think that's pretty clear what is commercial. But how programs are presented to know if there's commercial interest in them. Like I say, there are many programs like that. I could name several from KPFA. And I think there's confusion.
Okay. Did anyone else want to have anything to say before Sherna reads the amendment again?
Sarv, are you caught up?
What is the... where are we?
We're on 4.0, Sarv, and Sherna has an amendment which he's about to read.
Okay, what's the amendment?
And, you know, let me just say again, I'm very frustrated because everyone's had this document for 2 months now, and why aren't people sending in amendments instead of waiting until we finally have quorum? And then we can't get past one item because no one has sent in anything. I will read it now. Programs that regularly promote products and or personal advice that are for sale and from which the programmer receives a consideration are defined as commercial programming and are antithetical to the Pacifica mission.
Okay, that's the amendment, and we have established that in order for this to be enforced, there would have to be criteria established that define those things specifically. That would have to go through our local station boards, but that this policy will enable us to go ahead with that process. And so I'm going to call the roll now and ask for everyone that supports that amendment to say yes, and those that don't support...
Well, I think we need to get a second on it.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Teresa.
Okay, so it's been seconded. You've heard it. It's been read twice. I'm going to call the roll. If you say yes, you support the amendment. If you say no, you oppose it. Sarah Rendawa?
I'm not going to support this one because I'm going to leave it to the local station.
Okay, what did you say?
I said no.
Bonnie Simmons?
No.
Attila?
Yes.
Minsky's not with us yet. Sherna?
Yes.
Lisa Davis?
Abstain.
Serene Roberts? Excuse me, Serene?
Pass for now.
Oh, sorry. Okay, Steve Brown?
Abstain.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Adnan Lakhani? Adnan? Lisa Welch?
She's not here. She's not on, I think.
Okay, we have two no, three yes. Serene, you passed. Do you want to...
No pressure, right? I'm going to abstain.
Okay, it passes by a vote of 3-2. We're now on 5.0.
Does everyone now have it in front of them? Or do you need me to read it? Or someone to
speak
read
a little
it?
Louder.
Is that Alan?
Document now, or does it need to get read?
Sherna, why don't you just read it so that...
Well, we have... Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Harv.
Yeah.
The document I have received, there's a bold, and then there's a, just regular typing. So which one are we voting on?
Harv, the original one that says New Voices 5.0, that what is not bolded was what...
I can't hear you. Could you speak a little louder?
The document that's not bolded is what we started with. The bold was an amendment that I had suggested to that 531 document. Somehow the 5.0 got changed, and I was suggesting returning to the original language of 531 that I thought was stronger.
I think what Sherna is trying to say politely is that when I did a draft and I stripped some of the changes from the language. So the answer, Sarv, is it's the part in bold.
Okay, which one are we ready to vote on?
5.0 bold.
No, okay, 5.0 bold. Okay.
Yep. So does everyone have the language before them?
Yes.
Okay. Can we take a stack of people that would like to discuss it? Are there any is there any discussion, or do we want to move directly to a vote? Hearing no discussion, I will entertain a motion to adopt Section 5.0.
Second.
Did I hear a motion?
Rob?
Yes, Serene?
Just think for people who are listening to the stream who don't have the document.
Oh, right, Serene.
It needs to be read.
Okay,
read it,
great.
Or would someone else like to read it? I'll read it. Local stations must provide training to current and new volunteers, including instruction in the Pacifica and local station missions and in on-air broadcast, production, and journalism skills. New Voices, in quotation marks, must include people of all ages, genders, sexual orientation, ethnicities, nationalities, language backgrounds, and beliefs, particularly poor and working people. And these people must be involved in the local station's production and programming infrastructure.
Point of information here, Rob.
Sarv, yes, sir.
That the Pacifica and local station missions? What was that language in there?
Some of our stations, for example, WPFW has its own mission that implements the Pacifica mission. And in any discussions of the Pacifica mission, for example, at our signal area, there is a concern that if we don't mention the fact that there is a local station mission that implements the Pacifica mission, some people reach the conclusion that there is conflict. So that's why that language appears that way.
I have a friendly amendment.
Lisa, is that you?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that where it says new voices must include people of all ages, genders, sexual orientations, ethnicities, nationalities, languages, backgrounds, and beliefs, particularly poor and working people. I think we should have particularly poor and working people and underrepresented communities.
Okay, we have an amendment. Is everyone prepared to accept that, or do we need to have discussion and a vote on that?
Can you read it one more time?
I'll read it with Lisa's addition, okay?
Yeah.
Local stations must provide training to current and new volunteers, instruction, including instruction in the Pacifica and local station missions, and an on-air broadcast, production, and journalism skill. New voices must include people of all ages, genders, sexual orientation, ethnicities, nationalities, languages, backgrounds, and beliefs, particularly poor and working people and underrepresented communities. These people must be involved in the local station's production and programming infrastructure.
Okay. Is there any argument against the, is there any objection to us simply adopting by acclaim the Lisa's amendment? If not, then can we entertain a motion to adopt the language as amendment? Hello?
It's Serene. Just offer one more amendment.
Serene?
It should include all of those people and people with disabilities. I mean, it's not there. I thought at some point, but it's not there now.
I have a question, Rob.
Yes, Teresa.
Doesn't this document state, I believe at the beginning, that we are responsible to include diversity in all aspects involving programming? And so, I mean, we're already, we include a statement about involvement. So, I mean, repeating this in each section, it seems to me, actually, I think it's
redundant.
Burdensome. Once we've said we're going to be diverse and we're going to include diversity in all areas, am I wrong? Didn't we already include the statement?
Well, we've talked about the race and nationality proposals. I think that may be the case, but I think it's important that everybody that represents communities throughout the network wants to make sure that in developing a policy like this, and bear in mind that programming is, you know, programming is the one aspect of oversight that occurs in the bylaws that goes directly back to the Pacifica mission. And right now we do not have any policies that provide accountability for the fulfillment of the Pacifica mission. So what I'm saying is that I think people are concerned to carry back to their constituent communities something that says we're bending over backwards to make people believe that we're being inclusive of their interests. So while I would not argue with what you said, Teresa, I think the motivation for amendments like this is to create a sense of comfort that we're trying to bring everybody into the tent in developing this policy.
May I say something?
Of course you can.
Just briefly, I think we can never say it enough, especially when we look at the realities of what's going on in this society. And with all due respect, I mean, I see all the time, you know, you go to places, oh, we don't discriminate, diversity, but we know that's not true. So sometimes things have to be emphasized. It can never be emphasized enough until we as a society get it right. We, you know, we have work to do in every aspect within Pacifica, outside of Pacifica. So sometimes things will have to be enforced and hit over the head until we get
and
it correct.
I take what you're saying, Lisa. I would also add, you know, for everybody, and I'm not trying to,
myself included.
Right. I would also add, and I don't mean to convey any offense to anyone. Anyone that's familiar with the programming and the way we operate our volunteer programs at our local stations, there is much room for improvement for bringing new voices into our local stations and our programming everywhere. And it's not simply that we're trying to slight particular communities. We haven't yet found the best way to be inclusive any place yet in the network. So for those reasons, I can understand, and I don't feel that Lisa's amendment does any violence to the intention of the basic points here. So if there's no further discussion, I'd like to ask that we either approve this by acclamation or call for a vote. Does anyone want to call for a roll call vote?
Have we included the disability language?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have. Okay, then
the
we're...
The way it's structured,
pardon me?
It has to say, and different abilities. I believe. So it says people of all ages, genders, sexual orientations, ethnicities, nationalities, languages, abilities, backgrounds, and beliefs. Right?
That works for me.
Serena, are you and Serene?
Serene, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, that takes us to section 6.0, programming report, programming resources.
Sorry, Rob, are you keeping, I'm just making the changes, but I'm not noting what the vote is on anything.
Yeah, I'm noting the vote.
Okay.
And we
finished with the vote. The vote for 5.0 was 3-2 in favor
of your amended section. We're now at section 6.0. I'm sorry. We adopted by acclamation 5.0. We 3-2 in favor of the amendment for 4.0. At 5.0, we adopted that by acclamation. We're on 6.0 now. But yes, I'm going to keep track of of any votes on amendments or the underlying section.
Okay.
Can I say one thing? 6.0 means we're halfway through. Yay.
I had one substitute suggestion.
Okay. Does everyone have the document before them?
Oh,
is everyone reading 6.0?
And we better read it to the air.
Okay. Let me read it quickly. The PNB is responsible for setting affirmative policies, ensuring that local station budgets provide adequate staffing for programming, production, and engineering. This includes prudent investment in training and equipment. Resources must be provided at all levels of the Pacifica organization to establish a climate conducive to the production of creative, mission-driven programming. All operational units shall have production facilities that are maintained in good working order and staffed with professionals who possess the requisite levels of competence in their field. The substitute is to say persons who possess the requisite levels of professional competence. Okay? The final paragraph there reads, the PNB shall develop a strategic plan that addresses, among other things, how emerging technology will be used to further its strategic goals and support the production of mission-driven programming. Even Pacifica's non-broadcasting units must be arrayed to provide an effective human and technical infrastructure that supports the Pacifica mission. And non-broadcasting units refers to things like the affiliates program, technical operations, and web development, as well as even the Pacifica radio archives. Okay, so that's the section of the policy that basically says we have to invest in our resources and our plants And we have to staff them with people that have got professional competence in those areas, as well as investing in technologies that enable us to develop into the future. And we should have technological plans that enable us to grow by developing strategies that, take advantage of what technology does for us. For example, digital transmission and high definition radio enables us to split our broadcast so that we can effectively broadcast twice as much programming over the same bandwidth. And I may be misusing terms, but that's one of the uses of technology that's before us as we decide whether or not we're going to go digital or not. So that's the section of 6.0, and I'd like to either begin entertaining some discussion and amendments or ask if we want to vote this up or down.
Chair, I have a...
Steve. Yes, Steve?
I just think back to the Kellogg-Briand Pact, which said that all countries agree that war is a bad thing and they shouldn't do it. I don't understand this paragraph at all. The PNB is responsible for setting affirmative policies, blah, blah, blah. What does that mean in terms of what's going to happen? Who's going to determine what's adequate for each station in programming and how much is needed to provide the proper support for the programming training? Shouldn't this read, if this is a guideline that directs behavior on the part of the PNB, shouldn't it read like that? It says, the PNB has to do such and such by such and such day. It will set up a committee, let's say, to establish what is appropriate investment for each station in programming and production for the following 6 months, and do it and make sure the funding is allotted. I mean, this is nothing. I can okay it without a qualm of conscience because it doesn't change anything one way or the other. It has no force, no direction.
Steve, I guess it says that there ought to be, for example, there ought to be staffing levels, adequate staffing levels that relate to programming, that there ought to be programming resources allocated within budgets. And if that's not the case, that the Pacifica, that the PNB should basically take action to correct budgets that come forward that don't do that. And I can tell you, Steve, for example, that we have stations that have got wildly divergent staffing patterns. We have stations that do not provide for certain production and programming competencies that we need to be a non-commercial broadcaster. We have budgets that don't allocate resources to programming and training.
Ralph, I understand the problems that this paragraph intends to correct. I'm in full accord.
Do you have an amendment?
I don't exactly know what kind of an amendment to make, but the question is, who will decide the adequacy? You can find out whether a paragraph is any good by stating its opposite. Nobody would think for a minute that without this we endorse inadequate funding and staffing and programming resources. So to say that we endorse adequate resources, well, how does that move us forward?
It says that it reminds us that it's the unique responsibility of a board is supposed to assure that there are adequate resources available for the operations of an organization. And if there are not adequate resources allocated within the budget, then it's the responsibility of the board to take corrective action.
Who determines what's adequate? I mean, as I said, I can okay this paragraph without any qualms whatsoever.
I would think that we're going to have to, what this says basically is that the way this works out in practice, Steve, is that the programming committee goes to the finance committee and says, we have to make sure that in our staffing and in our technical operations that we're creating resources that enable the individual stations and the operating units to operate as they're supposed to. And if they're not there, then we have to do things to change the way we budget.
Can I get on the stack, Serene?
Yeah, Teresa?
Was
that Teresa that asked?
Serene.
I'm sorry, Serene? Yes.
I think it's clear Well, it's clear to me from this reading that mm-hmm. we're talking here about a collaboration in terms of decision-making among the programming, technical, technology, and finance committee.
Yep.
Which I know we have it, you know, we have locally, and I don't know whether everyone has it locally, but we certainly do have it nationally. So where we begin, that's where it ends. You know, wherever various stations begin this discussion, it requires collaboration of those three committees.
Rob, this sir?
Yes, sir.
You know, I see where Steve's point is pretty important, because how do you determine adequacy of resource? Well, it seems to me that so far each local station determine what their needs are, because they are the closest to the broadcasting, they're closest to their communities, and they are also part of carrying out the mission of Pacifica. So a PNB, which is a little distance, and which is its committees are already so busy, how are they going to determine what's adequate or what's not? And also with the budget that's submitted, it usually comes out from the grassroots radio stations and blessed by the LSBs. And if there's some kind of inadequacy there, that also can be addressed there as well. And also, when it comes to finance committee, people can make changes there. If not taken care of at that place, it can come to PNB, and then we can address it there. So I think Steve had a fairly important point here, that we can, you know, we can bless it, but how it changes the things on the field, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference.
Is there anyone else that wants to?
I want to say another thing. Steve
Brown?
Yeah.
And then Rob, is there someone else that hasn't spoken that wants to weigh in on this issue?
On this issue, once everyone else has spoken, I'd like to say something, sure enough.
I have something to say, but not specifically direct, pertaining to the issue that was raised about this paragraph, but there's something else I can wait.
Yeah, I think, can I just finish on this paragraph? I'd like to propose what might be the beginning of an amendment. Something on the lines of, the PNB at some specified interval shall decide what programming necessities are and then direct or divert resources to fund those particular needs as determined. Now, whether the PNB does it on its own or whether it collaborates with the ED and the individual stations is a matter to be determined. But unless we set that on such and such a day, such and such a standard will be set down, and that standard will be funded and resourced, we're wasting our time.
Okay.
Rob, can I kind of respond to what Steve and Sarv are saying?
Sure, and Lisa wants to speak as well, and then I'd like to...
Okay. I think that people are missing the point. The point is to simply establish that the PNB is ensuring that the local station budgets provide adequate staffing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, if there is... internal problems at the station, if there's favoritism, whatever, and there is not adequate provision in the budget to really do what the station wants to do and what is our mission, then the PNB has a policy that says that we are responsible for setting policies that ensure that. All this is doing is giving the PNB the responsibility, basically, for oversight that is happening. That's my understanding.
Point of information.
Sarv?
Isn't that a given? PNB
Sarv, it may be a given. It may be a given, but right now the organization is operating with no policies in finance, with no policies in personnel, with no policies in governance. So you tell me where we're supposed to begin.
Well, there are no policies in personnel?
No.
Well, we have an HR director. They don't have a personnel
We have a personnel handbook, but we don't have personnel policies that have been promulgated by the PNB. I mean, we've just been, for the last 3 months, discussing a personnel problem at one of our stations that has arisen because we don't have personnel policies, and I'm not even going to go case in point. But yeah, I mean, we don't have policies promulgated by the Pacific and National Board in almost any area.
Okay, that's all.
So you tell me where we begin.
Well, I think that, you know, when we say that it's a responsibility of PNB to set affirmative policy ensuring the local station budgets, well, that's a given to me. And the local station boards have the responsibility also, and the management has the responsibility at each station. And so far, I have not seen a whole lot of problem in that area. They have set the budgets. They have set the policies about, they know what the requirements for staffing is. And I think to alienate the local station boards and somehow remove the authority and their power and to make policies at the local level to some distant organization, I think that's pretty dangerous.
Let's let Lisa respond, and I'd like to answer some of your questions, if I could, later.
Actually, I was just going to bring up another point, so I wasn't going to really respond to that. So if people want to just continue to discuss this issue, I'm fine to wait, because mine wasn't specifically related to what people are saying.
Okay. I view it, maybe it's self-evident, but I view statements like this as necessary to have a framework if there are issues or problems at a station. You know, basically, from my view, the PNB has not really played its role as an oversight body on a whole lot of things.
Yep.
This is basically, once again, it's not saying that they do it, but that they take responsibility for oversight to make sure that it's happening if it's not.
I just want to say that if you get into the issue, you will see that there are no staffing patterns that have been established anywhere for what positions, how many, and what qualifications and what salary ranges we should have for staffing. So we've got some stations with you know, 7, 8, or 9 staff. We have other stations that have got dozens. We have positions all over the place for which there are no job descriptions. We have people that are performing duties that don't relate to the job that they're in. We don't have funding allocated for training in many of our stations. We actually don't have funding for programming production at many stations. Now, if we set a policy that says that the programming committee can do all of those things, we're going to be usurping the responsibility of the finance committee, of the personnel committee, and of other committees of the Pacific and National Board. But by doing something like this, what we say is we can begin having discussions with the finance committee and the personnel committee and say, for example, let's set some standards for staffing. Every station can have the staff that they want, but you have to have certain levels of staff available to you. They have to have certain skills to them, and we have to pay people, you know, we have to allocate resources to do that. We have to have training. We've gone over this over and over again, but many of our stations don't have coherent training programs. How are we going to say that we can provide new voices if there's no training available to people? And in many cases, what we do in terms of providing production resources for the local stations, we have equipment that's not maintained on a routine basis. We don't have adequate technology for people. We require people to bring in their own, you know, equipment and other things related to their jobs. We just do not do an adequate job of creating a workplace that is funded and has the resources necessary to fulfill the mission. So I think that it's incumbent upon this committee to be able to have discussions with other members of the PNB as well as with the local station boards, not to usurp authority, but to say, let's try to work together to create a workplace that's conducive to fulfilling the Pacifica mission, rather than making up everything as we go along, where nothing's in writing, there are no standards for these things, and everyone feels abused as a result. So I think this is a way of beginning that discussion, but there is absolutely no aspect of the budget or personnel that relates to programming in which you will not find jobs that have never been classified, people that are working and doing things that don't relate to their job description, situations in which people are working without the adequate resources, and we do budgets year after year after year in which no thought is given to what training do we provide people, you know, what staffing patterns should we have there, and it goes on and on and on forever. You know, some of our space stations spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on promotions. They spend no money on production. And I don't think you can keep asking people to do that. So in order for us to basically set standards that enable the local stations to be autonomous, but also enable people to do their job, somebody at the national level has to become concerned that we put adequate resources into our stations for programming.
Can I have a suggestion?
Lisa?
A possible one. Maybe it could say the PMP is responsible for helping to ensure that affirmative policies are set, you know, that a local station budget provide, you know, that will enable local station budgets to provide adequate staffing for programming and da 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 da.
Wait, Lisa, I'm sorry.
I said maybe the first sentence can be changed to read something to the effect that the PNB is responsible for helping to ensure that affirmative policies are set, you know, that will enable the local station budgets to provide adequate staffing for programming, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, the policies have to come from the PNB.
Rob, sir?
Yes, sir.
You know, my fear is that when we begin to engage Pacifica National Board members into the process of whether a person is technically or professionally qualified to do a certain job at a radio station, whatever, I think that's pretty scary to me. The reason
that's not the case. That we're talking about establishing standards for staffing.
Okay, well, who's going to set the standard?
I don't understand how that works either.
Who's going to set the standard?
I would say that we ask the personnel, the Pacifica management and personnel, to come back and say, what positions should we have, you know, what type of staffing array should we have at our local stations? They don't have to be the same. They can all be different, but we should all have certain types of positions and people with certain skills in those positions.
What?
Staffing patterns are very common. I mean, businesses and nonprofit organizations have staffing patterns all the, I mean, that's real standard.
This is a very unique institution, though, Rob. This is not regular business. And here, the diversity of programming and the change in technology and all that kind of stuff, it's overwhelming, and we will not be able to do it ourselves. We have to depend upon local managers, program directors, program producers.
That's exactly correct.
And they already do that anyway.
This doesn't say that we don't do it that way. This does say that we do it that way, but it says that we have to come up with some standards.
May I get on the staff?
Me too. Steve,
Sherna, who else? Lisa?
Yes.
Okay,
Brian.
Lisa?
Right. I was just going to say, because one of the points that Saab brought up was going to be the one that I was going to address. And, you know, this might be obvious to some people, but I just, you know, want a little bit more clarity. Because when we say good working order and staff with professionals, I think something about the word professionals in there. Because when I think about some of the things that I see that the stations, you know, are for, like when we talk about training and bringing people in and bringing people in from the community and, you know, and giving them a chance, you know, to develop certain skills and stuff like that, I guess I just need to understand a little bit more than we then say, and, you know, in good working order, that's kind of obvious to me, that the facilities are maintaining good working order but that they're staffed with professionals, or even with the substitute thing, substitute persons who possess the requisite levels of professional competence. So just when I think about that, and I think about, well, we are supposed to be involved in training, and a lot of times the only way people, the only way people can become or operate with a certain level of proficiency is by getting out there and going for it. They might not begin at a certain level, but, you know, that's the only way they're going to get there. So, you know, I'm just trying to reconcile that we're professional when I think about the other aspect of it in terms of recruiting and letting people come in who might not get a chance other places because they don't have this certain qualifications that the other stations look for, but that they can kind of get that experience here.